This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Philip C and this is the Breakfast Grill. Today on the grill is Datuk Sri Dr. Nick Nozrul Tani. He is the chairman of T7 Global, one of Malaysia's leading integrated energy solutions providers. 50% higher revenue, 3 times increase in profit. Your profit margins have doubled from 2 to 4%. A 2 billion ringgit order book. But your share price is still 18% down year to date. Why has the market not appreciated the performance of T7 Global?
I think it's a good point in the sense that despite COVID, we were able to perform that well. I mean, kudos to my team and staff and management to achieve that. Essentially, I think, unfortunately, the energy index have low PE now, in a sense. And one of our major contributors to our revenue is also the oil and gas sector and the energy. And unfortunately, oil and gas is a sector that is probably not as sexy as you were down the line from 4 or 5 years ago. And I think we were lumping that. So we would like this interview hopefully can highlight the fact that we're not only an energy services provider, integrated energy services provider, but we're also doing other things. And hopefully the market can see that. We appreciate that the market doesn't appreciate us in terms of the rise in pricing, but we are here in the long haul. One of the problems before that our dividends were not there for dividends, but now we're giving more dividends. And I think the market, our shareholders have been loyal. Hopefully, I would think that not people are selling because our shareholders are loyal to us. And that's also probably a positive factor. Because we have loyal shareholders have been with us for years, including the years when we were not doing well. And when we've turned around, and I'm happy that they remained. But we would like, hopefully, the shares to go up. But to be fair, that's not one of our major objective. We want to be a company that grows incrementally. We're happy if the price go up, but we want to be linked to our performance. And I think in that sense, we are comfortable where we are now.
Because one always assumes that with a higher fuel price, it ensures that the oil and gas majors have the capacity to do CapEx investments. And yeah, the challenge is that we don't see that yet translated. I think simply because of the confluence that people are moving towards renewable energies. But I would like to ask you a bit about your focus and your over-reliance perhaps on Petronas. How much of your business is reliant on Petronas's as a whole?
A lot of our work for now is in Petronas, about 70%, right? In a way, we are doing the high-level maintenance and technical work. And I guess we can't avoid the fact that Petronas is a major player in Malaysia. But we have diversified, and I think we'll talk later about our diversification exercise. Even Petronas keep telling our industry players to diversify and not rely on gas only. And that was our business plan 5 years ago anyway. With that, even though we're strong with oil and gas, we're strong in Petronas, but we do have a lot of other big oil companies that we do work for. But we could do more, like I said. Mm.
You do say 70% of your revenue is Petronas, although we do know that actually there is a geographic expansion plan done already for your MOPU units, your mobile offshore production units, because you're currently bidding for 3-4 units, hopefully in Vietnam and Thailand. Can you give us a sense of the success there? And what is the plan to grow and expand in those markets like Vietnam and Thailand?
We are mindful of the fact that we prefer to be in Malaysia, but we want to go regionally, incrementally, and we're looking at countries which is nearby, in a sense, okay? ASEAN-based, in a sense. Okay? But I think the market also is still starting up, all right? But coming back to your point earlier on about Petronas, I think if not, oil and gas service providers basically do rely on Petronas. So I think it's inevitable that Petronas will be our main customer. We can't, at the moment in time, comment on our bidding projects now, but they're still bidding. We don't want to be excluded because of that under governance rules nowadays. But we are bidding for some projects originally. And we are, we have started our overtures in ASEAN, right? And we are mindful of the fact that ASEAN is where the distance and our workforce can be better optimized. And that's why we do not want to go too far. Okay? We want to be with Kautuka, up to our head, Thailand, Vietnam, and possibly Indonesia, are those that we are. And we do have partners in those countries that we work with, so that we don't go in with our eyes. We don't go in with our eyes open to ensure that we know the market. As you are aware, some companies do get their hands burned going overseas. So going overseas sounds good, but a lot of preparations need to be done. Not a lot of homework need to be done. And a lot of local, the right local counterpart, they can complement what we have. And that's always been key. It's like getting married, to get the right partner as well.
Yeah, you know, so you are under a lot of pressure because Petronas and even the Malaysian ecosystem is saying to you, hey, you need to go overseas, but overseas is a lot of risk to coming through. And I think we are also seeing that Petronas is also putting a lot of pressure on your margins as they slowly try to extract more cost savings in their projects. How do you compare the margins in a Malaysian-based investment of MOPU versus something like in Thailand and Vietnam? You know, where are the margins sitting off now?
I think we, to be fair, the rate should not differ that much. I mean, we stick a specific rate based on our internal IRR, but we all need to incorporate some forex risk as well. So we need some forex buffer. I guess prices will be competitive. The industry knows what the prices are. Industry will dictate what the bandwidth is. So I guess pricing is one issue to have to be competitive. But in the end, the kind of track record that we have and the kind of partner that we have in the relative countries, as you were, to give the full support later on is key. Right? Mm-hmm. And our experience in Petronas put us in a better position when we go overseas because we have a good track record with them. And as you mentioned earlier on, Petronas also want us to try to grow regionally, right? And having our experience with Petronas does help us to understand what the pricing and the margin should be. I think that's key. But the forex risk is always there. So we have good swap derivatives, forex specialists will assist us to ensure that we have a good buffer. Right? But we do take up a lot of risk and management exercises whenever we go overseas. And country risk is one aspect that we look into as well. The history of the country and the history of oil and gas contracts in those countries.
What's the ambition then in 5 years of it local versus non-local contribution for your oil and gas business?
It's very hard to give a number, but of course we hope to get at least one new asset for every 2 years, hopefully, in a sense, overseas. So we are quite bullish on that. But it will depend on first one or two initial overseas ventures to see how it goes. There'll be a lot of learning process. I think the key point to note is that in the end, we have the human resource people with us, our talent with us, and how we can utilize this talent, optimizing them to ensure that when we go overseas, our right people are in to ensure that we don't make mistakes and we do go in with our eyes open with the right partner. But bear in mind, we have done a lot of overseas work for our other businesses. I mean, we've done some other,
your metal sheeting business in Taiwan and Thailand.
And also gas compressors under WEMEX, our subsidiary. So we've done a lot of overseas. So we're quite experienced overseas. So we have links with people there. We are comfortable at home at the moment in time, but we know we need to expand. But we have to prepare the pipeline. And in this case, ASEAN is the best solution in a sense to go to that.
So three markets, essentially, Thailand, Vietnam and Indonesia. Give me a sense of the type of partnership structures you will want to put in place there. I mean, are you willing to give up to operate with minority shareholdings? Or who are the kind of partners you're working with there?
We're also dependent on the bidding process over there. Because some countries, for example, would require a locally incorporated company to be the bidder. So then we will probably be the subcontractor. For example, in Indonesia, they require local internal contractors to bid. So we have to work within that ecosystem. But in a sense, we have to make sure that we whatever we do, we have to make the margin and whatever fits. So there's no one size fits all solution, Phil. We're identifying one or two potential partners in Indonesia, and we hope to go in and bid in the company.
Right. So tell me about your order book. How big is your order book now? Because just last year, you were about 1.3, 1.4 billion. How much has it increased to now?
Our order book right now, as I recall, is Ringgit Malaysia 2 billion. And bearing in mind COVID and all that, so I think we're quite happy. We didn't realize that we were having that kind where people were working hard. And when we reach a milestone of 2 billion, well, that's not bad. Over 10 years.
Yeah. Over 10 years. And the probability of success, usually 1 in 3?
1 in 3, nah. I think we can't comment on that because we're still depending on the work as Pali. But in our paths have shown that when we do a good job and we keep coming back, and we're quite comfortable in feeling that we are ready to pick up whatever is being done, and at least 30%, as you were.
Right.
And that'll be enough.
On the grill today, we have with us Datuk Sri Dr. Nick Nurzrul Thani, Chairman of T7 Global. Will we come back the expansion in the aerospace industry? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. Today on the Breakfast Grill, we have on the line Datuk Sri Dr. Nick Nurzrul Thani, Chairman of T7 Global Sdn Bhd. Now, early on, we had a conversation about your oil and gas business, which is really your mainstay of the core business. But you ventured into many other sectors, and one notably is aerospace and defense. That must have been super challenging as a result of the pandemic. How is the business doing there?
Okay, first of all, when we started it was during the good times, as it were, pre-COVID. Black Swan, COVID came, it affected us. But again, this is I have to thank the management for their agility to move forward, because our treatment plant in Serendah, okay, is actually metal treatment for aerospace. But they were able to morph and transform themselves to do metal treatment for other industries as well. And even though we're not optimum in terms of our revenue towards the company, but they've done work for automotive and other industries. We hope that now that we are at the tail end of COVID and the sector is opening up, and we've seen orders coming now. Well, not orders per se, but required queries from customers who have long kept quiet all this while during COVID, asking about our pricing. And we feel that we are probably going to be at the forefront of the recovery. And for example, we were, and they feel that this is another area that the Singapore government wants to focus on. A lot of other competitors basically suffered during COVID. Some of them even closed down. We survived with the sacrifice of our staff. So we trained them. We trained them well. And before the COVID, we even trained them overseas. They went to Mexico. For this industry, it's a highly skilled industry. People are the one that's important. And some of the people that we do work at the plant are actually our engineers from our oil and gas sectors that we reskilled them to go over there. So in the end, we are in a way a high, we're going up to the value chain, having high value manufacturing paradigms and ethos is our main target. And because of that being high level, we feel aerospace fits into our business.
So let's talk about the numbers, because when the groundbreaking ceremony took place for this Serendah facility in February 2018, the investment was about 200 million ringgit. The goal then was to deliver 30% of your total revenue target and about 180 million ringgit revenue a year. How far away are you from that target?
Quite far. I think if I'm not mistaken, we are still far. But last year, I think our contribution was, let me see, I think we broke even last year. We broke even last year. So the figures, 30 million, which is not bad. Which is not bad. I mean, not really on the, what do you call it, aerospace sector per se. We had a few aerospace still getting orders, but on the other industries. So I think notwithstanding the COVID, to be able to achieve that was quite remarkable. I have to say, though, the workers, the people there, my staff at the Chanda, were working very hard because they knew they were under pressure. And I'm basically appreciate their loyalty as well. And they say that, look, you have us here. You keep us on the payroll. They promised us that they'll remain. So I'm happy about that because we feel that in the future, we will be better. We are still far breaking even, but revenue is low. Okay, we think that this is the bottom. Okay, and I don't think it can go worse than this. So I think the only way is up.
What's the ambition?
I may be an eternal optimist, but I think that the aerospace will be coming up.
What's the ambition then? When will you hit that 180 million ringgit revenue target?
Very, very tough for me to give a figure, a date, because it all dependent on how fast the market will grow or will open up. But we were told by analysts that by 2023, the market will be back to normal. And we aim to be able, because there'll be a lot of areas of orders will be coming in. To be honest, we'll be worried whether we are having enough capability to take up the orders by the time the orders come in. So I think we're already back in demand, and demand is really coming in. I say within 2-3 years, I think, we'll probably get that figure again. Because the one thing about aerospace, the numbers are huge. An order comes in, it's quite big. And the orders are for long term. When we did our studies, a plane can last for about 30, 40 years, and the parts and all that keep coming in. So we are, in fact, being accredited with the major primes. Yeah, Boeing and Airbus, and also Rolls-Royce. So with these names coming up again, I think we'll be able to sustain the future and achieve that target fully within 3 years.
And I want to stay on the aerospace theme, but focus perhaps on your potential partnership with Siemens, because it's rumored that you are tendering for the MHB baggage handling contract. Can you give us a status of where the contract tender is at the moment?
This is where my legal sense comes in. We can't really comment on that because it's work in progress, it's bidding in progress. But we partner Siemens for the logistics sector, and we will support them, and they are our partners for a lot of other projects in Malaysia. But as far as bidding is concerned, we were basically reminded not to comment on that.
What is the nature of...
We don't want to prejudice our chances.
For sure. What is the nature of your partnership with Siemens? You said logistics, but perhaps could you narrow down a bit further? What are the areas of collaboration you're looking at with Siemens then?
Well, I mean, we've got them for logistics. We also partnered them for energy projects. They are basically a world leader on certain high-tech solutions, right? And automation, etc. We believe that there'll be potential transfer technology for systems. We are quite close to them, but we have not basically have a parameters of what our decision is. I think as and when their projects come in, we are the local partner and we work with them, but mostly on automation solution and systems. They're very well advanced on a few of them. And for example, for the MOPU project, the mobile offshore autonomy unit, we use them for some of the systems inside it. Right? Mm. So they already been with us. We always believe in transfer technology. We like to work with companies that are already ahead. We have people. We do have a small R&D, but we feel that we can do more. But we like to learn from those that are advanced, like Siemens, and basically work with them and do the local parts as well. Okay.
So the collaboration with Siemens looks like many opportunities to do. But if we shift from aerospace, from air to perhaps sea, you recently announced the termination of your shipbuilding joint venture with Mitsui E&S. Can you perhaps help me contrast why is it that this joint venture did not materialize, perhaps versus how Siemens is still successful, or even your Kilgore JV, why that was able to work?
Okay. Now, as far as the issue is concerned, I think now that we can mention the fact that it's public, in the public domain, that they have done, they are doing a restructuring in Japan. Right? So it's not because of the actual arrangement with us that we did not proceed. So they have a restructure. So we're having a time out for a while. Right? Our relationship with Mitsui is still good, but they are restructuring. I think it's a public domain that I think Mitsubishi is taking over them. So there have been some corporate restructuring in Japan itself. So that's why we felt that.
So you won't discount re-entering negotiations with them and doing it?
Well, we cannot. Never, as a James Bond movie says, never say never. So I'm going to read it. So yes, because we are... We will basically re-engage when things are calmer. I think COVID did not help. I think a lot of things were put up on a, shall we say, KIV for a while. So when they had to do the restructuring, we basically had time out. But we may re-engage down the line. And if once things are clearer, I think we can probably sit down again and see what we can do with the restructuring.
Well, hopefully you don't die another day. In view is also another James Bond theme. The history of T7 is that it is actually relatively new, and it is actually the offshoot of Tanjung Offshore, synonymous with bad management. How did you turn around that business into where T7 is now?
You're right. I mean, when I first came in, the company was known as Tanjung Offshore Berhad. And you're right, I think there were some issues. It was all the public knowledge of some concerns regarding management during that time. My deputy HD chairman, Tashi Tan Kian Soon, myself, we came in, took over the company, and we turned it around. So we say the takeaway from our experience is basically you need to relook the business model, right? And reshape the staff, the management, and motivate them again. The early days, there were a lot of cleaning up. The banks didn't want to even meet us because they had issues before. But there were a lot of plus side because one, we had the core team of people, of staff, they were very eager to work. Fortunately for us, we had very low gearing. We didn't have any debts. So we started off without any debt and we were able to not be settled by over-leveraging. So we were able to turn around and things like picking up on aerospace and focus on areas that are more niche, and we were able to be very good in our bidding, and we were able to get back the confidence of Petronas. And because of that, I think we did well. We basically were willing to take up the challenge of complex projects like MOPU and also some EPC project. And we even did the subsea scene and do work for Petronas, which I think needed some investments. But I guess in the end, we had people in the board and also management who knew what the technical aspects of the industry, and we were able to focus on areas that we felt had better margins. And so we had some stormy, ADMs in the early days, okay? But in a way, I guess my reputation and also the board at that time, including my deputy chairman, Tashi Tan Kian Soon, was a well-known person in the oil and gas industry. I was known on the corporate governance side. And we went to see the authorities, our stakeholders, our shareholders. We tell them what we're doing. We tell them, be patient. The result will come. We're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon.
That's all the time we have today on The Breakfast Grill. Datuk Sri Dr. Nick Nozrul Thani bin Hassan Thani, Chairman of T7 Global Berhad. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.